How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
If you have your Bible with you this week and can, turn with me to Psalm 119, verse number 23. Psalm 119, verse number 23. The Word of God tells us here in this verse, said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." We see here that the psalmist had a childlike faith from the words of his lips. He said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." See, that's what we need to realize as the people of God, that it's very important that we, when we pray and ask God to help us, that we ask Him to teach us. He said, "Teach me, O Lord." I'm thankful that the psalmist knew exactly where he needed to go to get his help and to get his teaching. And he knew that if he'd go to the Lord, that he could be taught something. He said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." The word statutes there is talking about the Word of God. And he said there, and at the end of that verse, "and I shall keep it unto the end." We see that perseverance of the saints is taught there. Perseverance to the end is most certainly to be predicted of those who begin with God, and they walk with God, and they will end with God. But those who live without the Lord's teaching soon forget what they've learned, and they start to go away from the path of the Lord. And he said he's going to keep it until the end. The end of which David speaks is the end of his life or the fullness of obedience. He trusted in grace to make him faithful to the end, never drawing a line and saying, "This is as far as I'm going, and then I'm going my own way." But he said, "Lord, teach me thy way, and I'll keep it unto the end." That ought to be the desire and the prayer of all the Lord's people, that once we start on this journey of grace, and yes, we'll go through hard times and trials, we'll go through tribulations and things that we just wonder why in the world is all this happening. But I tell you what, though we're in the midst of a battle, our goal and our desire, our heart's desire, ought to be to keep the Word of God until the end. All the way my Savior leads me. Every step I take, and the way He leads us is through the Word of God. So David said, "I'm going to keep it till the end." And then verse 34 of Psalm 119. And as I've stated in earlier broadcast, the whole theme of Psalm 119 is the to magnify and to build up the Word of God. Every verse in the whole psalm either talks directly to the Word of God, or I think three verses is all that don't directly speak to the Word of God and about the Word. The Word can be called a statute. It can be called a testimony. It can be called different things. It's called the Word, thy testimonies. But it's all in reference to the Word of God, and it magnifies and shows the preeminence of the Word of God. The Bible said, the Lord said this of His Word. He said, "I have magnified my Word above my name." God has put a great value and price and great importance on His Word. Verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." He's asking now for understanding. This is the same prayer that he prayed in the verse before, but I think it's enlarged. He's asking for even more. He said, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. How low has sin brought us? But if we get understanding of the Word of God, then will help us and cause us to keep thy law." We must understand the law of God before we can keep the law of God. And he said, "Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." The understanding that he wanted was not just an understanding that he might half-heartedly observe it, but the psalmist's desire was that he would observe the Word of God with his whole heart. How many times those of us that are saved, we half-heartedly serve the Lord. We'll half-heartedly believe the Word when we ought to believe it. And a lot of people talk about believing the Word of God. But I tell you, what you really believe about the Word of God is what you live according to the Word of God. How we live and what we do in our day-to-day life, that shows what we believe a lot more than what we say we believe. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. See, David said, make me go in the path of thy word. Thy word, the Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that is the word, or the path and the road that the child of God ought to desire to be on, one that is paved with the Word of God. We live according to the Word. Not just on Sunday or Wednesday night or when the preacher's looking or the church members are around, but day in, day out, he said, make me to go in the path of thy word. We ought to travel a path and live a life and walk in a way that's lining up with this Bible, even when it hurts. John the Baptist, I think about his stand. It cost him his head when he preached against adultery. He said, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. But that's where we're at, and a lot of people will not take that stand. When your stand costs you your head to walk in these paths of the commandments of God, you'll see if you're truly following God, or is it just a convenient thing? And when the convenience is gone and the roughness of the road starts to get under your feet and you're walking a rough way, will you stay with it? Well, God will help you to stay with it, but you must realize that we must ask God to help us to go in the path of His commandments. And David said there, for therein do I delight. You know, I just wonder how much delight we get out of the Word of God. You know, we delight. The word delight means to have great enjoyment, great pleasure. And he said, I delight in the law and the word, for therein do I delight. I tell you what, it ought to be a delight for a child of God to open the infallible scripture. It ought to be a delight for us to hear one of the Lord's Baptist preachers preaching the word of God. It ought to be a delight as we read and the Spirit of God opens up the Scriptures to us and we can see how they'll apply to our life and help us live more godly and be a better servant of the Lord. We ought to be enjoying that and just delighting in it. But I'm afraid too many times we delight in every other thing besides the Word of God. We delight in everything else besides God's holy Word. Verse 36 of that psalm, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. You know, the sin of covetousness, to be a covetous person, is a very bad sin. And it's a sin we must all fight. You know, a lot of people, I've heard people say, if I had $1 million or if I was wealthy as so-and-so, I'd be satisfied. Yeah, well, you go to that person that, and if they don't have God and they're not saved and don't have God in their life and heart, I guarantee you, you go to them and they're not satisfied. They're trying to make the next million or the next whatever. I want to say that we must be satisfied with God. He said, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Holiness in the heart is a cure for covetousness. To covet something, I tell you, when I'm the most ashamed of myself and my walk with the Lord, whenever I covet or want something else more than what God's given me. Now, that doesn't mean we can't work hard and try to better ourselves as long as we're not going against Scripture. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm trying to say there is when we're coveting other things and wanting more than what God's given us and having an attitude like poor me or old me, that's when we're the most ungrateful and we're acting like a bunch of spoilt, rotten brats. And God, it's a wonder God gives us anything when we're acting like that. But I praise Him that even when my faith has been weak, He's been faithful. And even when I wasn't thankful for what He blessed me with, He still blessed me. Now, He corrected me about it. He works on my heart. But we should never want to be. But he said, incline my heart. When you incline something, you tilt down toward it or up to it. You're fixed on it. And he said, incline my heart to thy testimonies, to the word of God. Because if my heart is consumed and being filled with the word of God, and that's what I'm delighting in, that's the path that I'm taking, is the path of the word of God, then I won't be a covetous person. And when I am, God will correct me about it and convict me. And I can bring to remembrance that the word of God is my delight. And it's what I'm feeding on and what I'm counting on for my peace and joy and happiness. Verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy way. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. You know, the word vanity there means things that are empty, that have no value. And I think about the things of this world. Now, I know that we have to have money and to provide a house and a place to live. Whether you're renting or buying, you've got to have money. It takes money to buy a vehicle and keep gas and provide food and clothing and shelter for our family. I know all that. But he said, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. We must realize that though we are in the world and have to deal with these material things, that they are really vanity when you get right down to it. They are vain. They're empty. Anything that is not eternal. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the things that are seen are temporal. Anything that you can look at today, you can go to the most beautiful mansion on the hilltop. You can go and look at the most beautiful man or woman in the world, the most beautiful car, the most beautiful piece of land, and the prettiest farmland, the prettiest mount, everything that we can behold. If you can see it, it's temporal. It's not going to last. But I'm glad, thank God, that the things that are not seen, faith, hope, the heaven, we've never seen Christ in the physical body. We've never seen God the Father and God the Holy Spirit literally with our eyes. But I won't say that those things, the things that are not seen, they're eternal. Hell's eternal. The lake of fire's eternal. Those things are eternal because they're things that are not seen. God bless you. We'll start off next week in Psalm 119 and we'll finish up verse 37. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.